right, sir, we thank you. Our first public hearing is subdivision 2006-48, Doug Corey.
This is application of Doug Corey to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district in Nanticoke 100, Sussex County, body-bodying 26.85 acres into 25 lots, and a variance from the maximum allowed cul-de-sac length of 1,000 feet, located at the northwest corner of the intersection of Route 404 and Road 42. The Technical Advisory Committee report of March 21st of 2007 will be made a part of the record. On December the 11th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet that contains a project summary, addresses the items of 99-9C. There's a copy of the application, a copy of the preliminary subdivision plan, proposed restrictive covenants, the county's notice of the public hearing, copy of a tax map, aerial map, FEMA floodplain map, the technical advisory committee comments, DLDOT letter of no objection, and the septic feasibility statement from Denrec. And that each of you's received a copy of that book. It'll be made a part of the record. And on January 25th of this year, we received a letter of no objection from DLDOT in reference to the entrance location. That's all I have. If you have any questions, just tell me.
All right, sir, we thank you. Anyone here representing this application?
Good evening. My name is John Murray. I'm a project manager with Kircher Engineering, located here in Georgetown. As was mentioned by Shane, I stand before you this evening representing Mr. Corey for a proposed residential single-family home subdivision, which would be known as Chaplain Circle. As was mentioned, this project is located at the northwest corner of the intersection with County Road 42 and Delaware Route 404. As was also mentioned, Mr. Corey is proposing to establish 25 new single-family residential lots on approximately 26.85 acres. All of those lots would be the minimum 3/4 acre in size. All lots would be serviced by individual septics, and all lots would be serviced by individual wells. As part of the application for this project, we had submitted the plan to the Delaware Department of Transportation, as was mentioned, and obtained a letter of no objection. As part of DLDOT's comments, we were requested to provide a 10-foot right-of-way dedication along Delaware Route 404 for possible roadway expansion in the future. As you could probably see on your plan, along the eastern and southern property boundary, we have also provided a 15-foot wide permanent easement, which would be for the establishment of a 10-foot wide multi-use path. That multi-use path would be required by the Delaware Department of Transportation to be completed as a part of the entrance construction if approval were to be granted. On the property, we're setting aside approximately 1.36 acres for passive recreation and or stormwater management. This project, if you'll look in your booklets, as was mentioned by Shane under Appendix 2, page 2, that aerial map will show this project's location in proximity to several other residential developments in the area. I won't go through the entire list. There are several of them, but as you can see on the plan, there are quite a few. Mr. Corey is proposing on the development to establish the covenants restrictions, as is in your booklet, for the homes that would be placed within this community. The plan that the covenants restrictions call for will be that any one-story dwelling would be a minimum 1,800 square feet living space in size. Any two-story dwelling would be a minimum 2,400 square feet in size minimum, and that all homes within the community would be stick-built. There would not be any modular homes, double-wides allowed within the community. And actually, if I may, something that did not make it into the packet, I don't know if it's satisfactory to submit, these are some photos.
Typically, we've allowed photos just because, I mean, they show what's on the ground anyway.
If it's okay, I'd like to hand those out.
quickly.
Thank you.
If there's anyone in the public that has an interest in this application, would like to see this, you may have my copy of it.
I actually have a couple extra copies.
Don't worry, the gentleman has a couple extras if anybody wants to see it. Well, nobody wants to look at your pictures there, Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry.
Well, it's okay.
Except for us, we want to look at it.
Well, I'm glad that you're...
We want to look at it. I'm looking at it right now.
The homes that are shown in the photos, one of the homes on page three, the very first home at the top, is actually one of the homes that is located in a minor subdivision that was created along County Road 42. And that is a home that's similar to what they would like to model for the community. The other photos are of other homes that are in the vicinity, homes that the applicant found to his liking, and there are homes that he would like to have a similar model for in his community. As was also mentioned, Chapel Road within the community, from the intersection of Cross Road, exceeds 1,000 feet. The actual distance from the intersection of Cross Road to the center of the cul-de-sac on Chapel Road is 1,095 feet, just to give you an idea of how far that distance is. That somewhat concludes our presentation for the project. If you have any questions, I'm here to hopefully answer any questions you may have.
All right, sir. Well, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we will start with Mr. Gordy.
So we've got individual septic and well, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and you've got the septic feasibilities in here.
Correct. It's in Appendix 4. Okay. The first item in that appendix is the letter of no objection from DelDOT that was issued on January 25th. You'll see that the second item is a feasibility statement issued by Denerec on August 22nd, 2006.
And what type of systems are there?
Actually, the vast majority of them are all standard gravity systems. Lots 19 through 22 at the end of Chapel Road, mm-hmm. those four lots would have an engineered system, LPP.
Okay.
But the rest of the, according to the feasibility study by the soil scientists, the rest would be a standard gravity system.
And the entrance, is DelDOT gave their no objection to the entrance?
Yes, they have.
Okay. And the houses, you showed us a couple pictures of them. Is this a builder tie-in, or is it several lots and anybody can build, or?
That I'd ask Mr. Corey to come forward if he'd like and answer that question. That I don't know.
Doug Corey, Bridgeville, Delaware. It would be at the builder's or the buyer's discretion.
Okay. Will you have a determination on what's been built there as far as structure?
Yes, there's deeds restrictions as far as 1,800 for a single story, 2,400 for two story.
And in the restrictive covenants, is there the agricultural notice in there?
There's not, actually.
There's not.
I believe there was not, and I think Mr. Robertson's response to the review stated such.
All the questions I have right now, Mr. Wheatley.
All right, sir, we thank you. And Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You're asking for a variance from the cul-de-sac length?
Correct.
Is there any other way of doing the design that would eliminate that request, or is there any other type of traffic calming that could be implemented?
Traffic calming in terms of allowing anyone to speed through the development.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not required by the county under design standards, there is, of course, the option of doing something in terms of speed bumps within the community. I would imagine that's something they would probably leave up to the homeowners association. There is a possibility. We have, as you can see, there's quite a bit of frontage along Road 42.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So it is possible to relocate the entrance and cross road a little closer to the intersection with Delaware Route 404 so that the 1,000 feet would not be exceeded. The only reason that we showed the entrance at that location is because typically LDOT prefers, if you're at an intersection, to have the entrance as far away from possible from the intersection. That's really the only reason why we showed it where it is. So it is possible to shorten that length.
Thank you. The stormwater management pond area, is that going to be a wet pond?
That's not something that we've investigated yet in terms of discussing it with the developer. If he'd prefer for it to be an aesthetic pond, a wet pond, then that is entirely possible. Based on the results of the feasibility study, all of the soils, as was mentioned, on the majority of the property, about 90%, were the limiting zone was rather deep, and the permeability rate was rather excessive. So with that being said, it would make it most feasible if it was an infiltration pond in terms of minimalizing the area that would be needed for a stormwater management facility. If he chose to have a more aesthetic pond, then it is quite possible to make that a wet pond. Again, it would just, because of the limitations of the soils being that they are rapidly permeable, it would have to be artificially lined in some manner, whether it be with a man-made liner or a clay liner, in order to keep it wet at all times. But there hasn't been any investigation yet. There's been no design done on that.
I understand. Thank you. And if this were acted on favorably and you got to that point with the developer, do you think that you could look at some other ways maybe of treating or negating some of the stormwater management, so perhaps the size of that proposed area, the 61,395 square feet, could be perhaps minimalized and possibly relocated off County Road 42?
I would think so. The area that we've provided was rather large, just for the reason that we haven't done any sort of formal investigation yet. We've worked on a few projects in recently where we've had similar permeability rates to what we have. Based on what we see out there, based on the feasibility study that was conducted by Coastal Soil Consultants, I would estimate that we would probably only need about half of the area designated as stormwater management area open space for the actual stormwater management facility if it were to be an infiltration basin. If it were to be a wet pond, of course, then in terms of the design, it's sort of like the sky's the limit in terms of aesthetics. And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there is the opportunity, as you mentioned, to keep it further away from 42 so that it wouldn't be as close to the road. The Delaware Department of Transportation at a minimum requires that the top of the bank on any sort of pond or stormwater management structure be at least 25 feet away from their right-of-way. So that would be a minimum. DelDOT's not going to allow us to get any closer. So that, I don't know if that helps any, but
just curious, now that you mentioned that 25-foot top of the bank, would you, what would you envision if this were acted on favorably and everything was as it was? Now, the top of the bank, as represented on that drawing, to look like, and would that be buffered from the backs of lots 28, 29, and the side of 27?
There hasn't at least been a plan for that. If it were, I would say that if we were good to go so far and it was acted on favorably, the application, we were in the design, if it was an aesthetic pond, I would think that there would not be any sort of visual buffer between the units and the pond. I can't say that for certain, but I would think if it's an aesthetic pond, it's meant to be attractive in landscape, I wouldn't think that there would be a visual buffer. If it is an infiltration pond, which does not tend to be as aesthetically pleasing as a wet pond, then I could see that there may be the option of screening it. The only screening that's planned throughout the community is a 30-foot wide buffer along the western property boundary and along the northern property boundary in those areas where we're adjacent to properties that are being used for agricultural purposes. We understand, at least for those areas, that if we were to be granted preliminary approval when we're coming back for a final, that we would be required to provide a landscaping plan for that buffer area. But in short, to answer your question, there's really not been any forethought in terms of screening those properties from the stormwater management area.
Thank you. So summing up answers that you gave me to the questions that I asked, that if this were looked at favorably, you may be able to, without causing your developer to undo any unnecessary cost or any exorbitant extra cost, such as lining this to create it, that you may be able to do something different with the entrance and possibly either with different stormwater management techniques or a relocation of this existing pond.
And it would make the most sense, honestly, for the stormwater management facility to be as close as it could be to the right-of-way that would be established for Chapel Road, just because, as you can see on your plan, the proposed cross-section for the roadways is your 20-foot-wide paved surface and roadside swales. With that being said, the conveyance is going to be coming from the roadway. It would make the most sense to keep that stormwater management facility as close as possible to where the water is being conveyed from. So it would be in their best interest to keep it as far away from possible from Route 42.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Where is it, Mr. Johnson? How close would you say you are to where they're holding a pumpkin chunk now?
That I actually do not know.
Okay. Excuse me, sir, if you were going to answer, I need you to come up and identify yourself, please, because our tape recorder can't recognize your face.
Thank you. My name is Elwood Hunsberger, real estate broker for Cooper Associates in Seaford, and we kind of spearheaded this for Mr. Corey. Okay. And those photos, of course, which you passed around are some of the development and some of the homes that we built just down the road at Cokesbury Estates. So I just want to give you a little insight on that. But the pumpkin chunk, and in answer to your question, is about a quarter of a mile away. In fact, some of the homes right along Chapel Road are really close. They have the retaining fence going just to the north of that.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, I was remiss first in complimenting Mr. Murray for giving us a booklet for us to review ahead of time. That was very helpful to me. As a commissioner, I appreciate when the presenters do provide us with a detailed booklet like you presented tonight. And looking at that, have you done any exploration with any possibility of connecting to a central water or central sewer? Because I know not too far from this proposed subdivision, there's a larger one that was also looking to tap into perhaps a regional provider.
There was another application which actually Kircher Engineering, the firm I work for, presented for a cluster subdivision that was located approximately three parcels to the west of this property. We did have, there's dialogue that's begun between Tidewater and our client to provide water service. We have not had any dialogue yet with Tidewater about that, but we do know that it is coming within the vicinity. So it looks as if it would be an option, but it is not something that we've explored at this time.
So at this point, it's just perhaps central water that Tidewater is going to looking to provide for the cluster subdivision, not central sewer?
I wasn't, at least for our firm, I was not the project manager for that. I don't want to say incriminate anyway, but I'm not, from what I recall, what was going to be established for that community was going to be a self-contained system. It wasn't going to be hooked up to a central, from what I recall, but I could be wrong.
But that's something that perhaps you could consider if the other project was to proceed and you were to at the same time.
Would think so.
Okay. And looking at buffers, I saw you do have the agricultural buffers. What buffer would you be providing for lots 20 and 21 from the Route 40418 noise pollution?
In terms of noise pollution, there would be then the opportunity in that area to create, I would assume, if the developer was favorable to it, an additional easement to landscape that area to provide some sort of, as you will, visual buffer, noise buffer from 404.
So that's perhaps something that could be incorporated into your final site plan.
I would think so. I mean, of course, that's not something that we would be placing in the 15-foot wide permanent easement,
right?
Because that's predominantly would be taken up by the multi-use path. Yes.
Okay. And no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Burton.
Thank you. You mentioned that the stormwater management pond was the passive and the active open space of the community.
It would be, there are no amenities planned for the community in terms of any sort of active recreation area. So in terms of, it would be more passive recreation if they did, say, do an aesthetic type pond and decided to place some sort of feature around that, maybe if they decided to do something like benches or a walking path. And
you've shown, you would, on the final site plan, there would be something shown as
correct.
When you make the determination of what's happening with this stormwater management system, you may be able to dedicate some land over to.
Correct. If yeah, exactly. If it would, it would not be in the our the developer's best interest to just kind of in a wholesale manner take up that entire area by a stormwater management facility. Again, based looking on the soil results, we'd probably need about half that area. And if it does work out that way, then there would be a surplus of open space that could be designated well, I would think that the homeowners association would have maintenance responsibility and ownership over it anyway. So then that would create an opportunity where they could do something with that open space after. Okay.
Do you have any idea what the price range of these homes would be?
I would say the market at the present time
it would probably be between $200,000 and $300,000. We're trying to develop something that would be a little less than that, but it's pretty difficult owing to the cost of ground and the materials still up there where they haven't returned down yet. So we would like to get a more affordable housing in there, but it's really tough. And the pictures that I presented to you were homes in that category, probably anywhere from $250,000 to $350,000 when we build them.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. No further questions.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Counts?
No questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
No questions. Just more of a statement. Just a reminder, with the proposed restrictive covenants, I noted that a memo addressed this too. They need to establish a homeowners association if this is approved. There's nothing in there for the provision of the maintenance of anything. That needs to be established. Again, you know, not knowing whether this would be approved or not, but the proposed restrictive covenants have to talk about the maintenance for the streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management areas, erosion sedimentation control facilities, all that type of thing. And also, as we said earlier, you know, it's in areas where there's ag lands, so we need the ag use protection notice in there as well. So, you know, I have no idea what the commission is going to do on it, but that needs to be included. So that's all that I had, Mr. Wheatley. Thanks.
All right, sir. We thank you. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-48, Doug Corey? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-48? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.